Have you ever been in therapy? For many of us, it's a great way to learn about ourselves, manage emotions, and improve our relationships with others. But for many, the idea of going into therapy is intimidating, even if the benefits are clear. If that describes you, check out these big ideas from the new book, And How Does That Make You Feel? Everything You Never Wanted to Know About Therapy by Joshua Fletcher. Joshua, known on social media as Anxiety Josh, is a leading UK-based psychotherapist, specializing in anxiety, and the host of the podcasts Disordered and The Panic Pod. Here he is to share his key insights.
Hi, my name is Joshua Fletcher, and I'm a psychotherapist and author advocating for the life-changing benefits of good therapy. I also prance around on social media, providing psychoeducation about mental health under the name Anxiety Josh. I'm based in Manchester in the UK, and I'm really, really excited to tell you a bit more about my upcoming book, And How Does That Make You Feel? Everything You Never Wanted to Know About Therapy. It's a book about therapy from the therapist's point of view and revolves around the stories of four very interesting clients who come to therapy for the first time. Daphne is a famous actor and director who comes to therapy to explore identity and attachment issues. Levi is the head doorman of a nightclub who wants help with intrusive thoughts. Zara is a doctor crippled by panic attacks and grief. And Noah is a young accountant with social anxiety who has recently moved to the city, but is encumbered by a crippling dark secret. Of course, these aren't their real names, because anonymity and confidentiality are paramount in my profession. But the characters reflect issues and challenges that often come up in the therapy room. There are also elements from my personal life intertwined with my role as a therapist, including what inspired me to pursue this wonderful and fascinating career. I'm delighted to share with you five key insights from the book. Insight 1. Therapy is cool. Like, genuinely cool. Not because your uncle said it was cool whilst dressed like a member of the band Kiss. I personally put off therapy for a long time, you know, because I thought it was tough not to talk about feelings. I grew up in a small rugby town in England, where feelings were often processed by running full force into another human being holding an egg-shaped ball. If you don't know what rugby is, just picture the NFL, minus the shoulder padding, but including impressive beards and exposed knees. It was only after developing a crippling anxiety disorder, which included many panic attacks, agoraphobia, and OCD, did I realize the power of therapy, and it helped me to grow as a human being. I am not a cool person, but it is my passion to make therapy cool, or at least a little bit more appealing for people who have perhaps been adverse to it, or shy away from it, because of the stigma surrounding asking for help. I'm also passionate about challenging emotional conservatism, which is the reverence of hiding or repressing emotions in favor of keeping a stern, external appearance. For a lot of people, strength is often unhealthily measured on our ability to push down or hide from emotions. Picture your stereotypical British guy with a stiff upper lip, sipping tea from his "keep calm and carry on" mug. In And How Does That Make You Feel, I challenge the notion of therapy being something you go to when you're weak. You will find out that therapy is not always straightforward. It's not a linear process of positive growth, where each session ends with you smiling and leaping towards self-actualization. Therapy can be messy, challenging, and extremely confronting, not only for the client, but also for me as a therapist. The book explores the beautiful intricacies and nuance of two strangers coming together, one trained in therapy, protected by the sanctity of anonymity, as they both navigate through personal difficulties whilst building a foundation of trust. Insight 2. Mind reading your own therapist. Have you ever wanted to know what your therapist is thinking? You're sat there, and they're staring at you whilst you divulge personal and sensitive information. Have you ever thought, what on earth must they be thinking right now? One of the most unique things about this book is that I literally include my thought processes when working in the therapy room. Our thoughts are dictated by various facets of our mind and personality. Take this, for example. Imagine the thought process behind ordering a cheeseburger. The biology voice might say, "Yes, put that in my mouth, please." Whereas anxiety voice may say, "Yeah, but that's not healthy." Analytical voice chimes in with, "Yeah, but we've eaten clean all week. I'm sick of kale smoothies." But critic voice retorts with, "You're forgetting that cheeseburger you had for breakfast this morning." These are an example of four voices that squabble in our minds. In And How Does That Make You Feel, I include 13 voices that all strive for attention whilst trying to work with and help clients. These voices are joined by the voices of compassion, detective, empathy, escapist, intuition, irreverence, savior, trigger, and volition. They sometimes agree, sometimes argue, and this process is something I wish to share with people to demystify the often ostentatious facade of a stereotypical therapist. For example, in one of the chapters, I find myself with Levi, a scary-looking doorman who himself has his guard up because he is vulnerable to be in the therapy room for the first time. When we are first introduced to Levi, there's a moment where we both walk down the corridor to my office. My internal voices start to chatter as follows. Anxiety. "This guy is scary." Analytical. "I can see he's clenching and unclenching his fists." Critic. "He's taking up so much space. You're going to end up mashed against the wall." Empathy. "He must be nervous, and people display nerves in different ways. It's not personal." Levi settles and begins to ask initial questions about therapy. Levi, "So when are you going to start reading my mind? Tell me all my problems are because daddy didn't love me." Josh, "It doesn't quite work like that. I can't read minds, unfortunately. A psychotherapist's main job is to listen and provide a safe space." Of course, my mind is still chatting away, certain voices giving their two cents. Irreverence. "It's always the parents." Analytical, perhaps. Detective, "We obviously need to know more. Will you guys shut up?" I've got to balance these thinking voices throughout the book as I reveal how I work with the clients featured. Sometimes I absolutely nail it, solid 10 out of 10 therapy, and sometimes I misjudge it or get it wrong. However, what I would like to show is that my intentions come from a place of unconditional positive regard for my clients, similar to any therapist, with this unconditionality being a powerful rudder in steering us through the therapy process. Insight 3. What does a therapist get up to outside of the therapy room? This book celebrates therapists as people, normal people. I share aspects of my life that show what I get up to when I'm not sat nodding in my therapist chair. A lot of people think that therapists have got all the ducks in order, practicing meditation daily, eating thrice fermented kimchi for our gut biomes, and filling out our gratitude journals whilst walking through the woods. While some therapists may do this, and sometimes I do, minus the kimchi, I share what I get up to using aspects of my personal life. I do this with the intention to show people that therapists shouldn't be feared. They're pretty relatable as people. They're not omnipotent know-it-alls that have everything sorted. We have our own vices, our own personal issues, and things we are always working on. I believe that when people see therapists as more human, it may encourage them to seek one should they feel they need it. One of the many fears I hear, and why a lot of people avoid therapy, is the prospect of entering a therapy room with a daunting power dynamic, the therapist being some judgmental authority figure who only exists to read minds and rubber stamp your position in the DSM-5. I share some very interesting anecdotes from my life to help dispel these myths, including the time I bumped into an ex-client on a very hedonistic night out. I also share some of my vulnerabilities, particularly around grief and the painful reminders of my own trauma when I am reminded of them in the therapy room. Insight 4, a great book for anxiety. In a world where some people are self-diagnosing themselves via TikTok, I have come to appreciate the value of sound insights from professionals. Personally, I love books where I learn about things through an engaging narrative or plot. It's like I've learned a lot without even intending to. I've written this book as a great source of stealth help that is woven through the case narratives. It doesn't hit you all at once. You are not bombarded with information about every anxiety disorder under the sun. But I have sprinkled knowledge throughout the book so the reader can come away feeling more equipped, informed, and in some cases, seen. If you struggle with anxiety or know someone who does, you will get a lot out of this book. It was my aim to write about this topic in a fun and engaging manner to normalize it for people. I love that, as a society, we're talking about mental health more, but admittedly, the subject can be tricky and often heavy. So I've written this in a way that brings hope and a lighter tone to a very serious topic so that more people can engage with it. I want to bring it further out of the taboo. Back when I developed an anxiety disorder, I had no idea what was going on. I thought I'd just gone bananas, finally lost my mind. A big part of what inspired me to be a therapist was modeling my approach on the ideal therapist I wished I had at the beginning of my own struggles with mental health. For me, psychoeducation and understanding what was happening in my brain and body was really helpful in lessening how scary the symptoms of anxiety were. There was an explanation for why I felt dissociated, for why my heart kept racing and palpitating, for why my mind would race and my thoughts would focus on horrible catastrophes. Someone finally told me the reason why I ran out of a movie theater sweating and crying once. And no, it wasn't because I watched any of the latest Indiana Jones movies. Insight 5, peering behind the therapist's staff room door. Therapy is often a field shrouded in mystery. I love talking about the different types of therapists that exist. Many people don't know that therapists are trained in a multitude of different modalities, such as cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, person-centered, and psychodynamic, to name a few. Therapists can be very passionate about the school of thought or practicing philosophy they have trained in, which can lead to conflicting views and, in some cases, partisanship in the field of talking therapies. Imagine different tribes of therapists all endeavoring to be as self-righteous and virtuous as one another. Team Freud are the Chiefs, Jungian therapists are the Steelers, Rogerian therapists are the Jets, CBT therapists are the Dolphins, you get what I'm talking about. One of the most serious chapters discusses the beauty of therapy and why finding a therapist that connects with you is such an incredible thing. So these are my 5 insights. I really hope you enjoyed the book as much as I did writing it. If you're someone who's been affected by mental health, knows a loved one who has, someone who wants to know more, or just looking to nose around behind the scenes of a mysterious profession, then this is my ode to you. Any therapists picking up this book, then a warm and gentle well done from me. It isn't the easiest of professions.
Thank you, Joshua. That was 5 big ideas from And How Does That Make You Feel? Everything You Never Wanted to Know About Therapy by Joshua Fletcher. Also, check out our bookplate for A Pity Party is Still a Party, A Feel-Good Guide to Feeling Bad by Chelsea Harvey Garner. I'm Michael Kafnat. Have a great day.